of doing that. Well, today we will conclude the five-part series titled God Is, Being Like Our Heavenly Father. Becoming like our Heavenly Father requires a special, intimate, know Him from the heart relationship. We're to become one with God as God and Jesus Christ are one. As they are one, we should be one with them and one with one another. Kind of like in a marriage, two people, individuals, become one. They're no longer separate. They're no longer thrown together, but they become a single unit. And that requires a special relationship. I want to rehearse for a moment what we have covered. First is God is love, and we're to be like God. We're learning to love God with our whole heart, with our whole soul, and our whole mind. We're learning to love man, friend, and foe, knowing that everyone who has ever lived, who is living, who's being born today or tomorrow, will be given the opportunity to be in God's kingdom. Everyone is potentially our brother and sister in Christ. We're to love everyone. I don't know if I have the time to go through some of these scriptures. My wife did note I maybe have had too much notes today, and she was concerned. So she has a slingshot back there with a big wad of paper to hit me just in case I go over time. But yeah, let's go to Matthew 22. Some of these things just beg discussion. We're to love as God is love. Matthew 22, verse 37. It's the Sabbath. Where else are you going to go? Matthew 22, verse 37. We've gone over this before, but I want to emphasize it because having that relationship, that personal relationship, that intimate relationship, that know God from the heart relationship requires us to love as God is love. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We go back to John 3:16. God so loved the world, everyone, that he gave his only begotten son. It's a given scripture. Everyone knows that. He also says that, I would that all men become your brothers and sisters, that all men be saved. John 3, yeah, John 3. John 3, John 3 verse 16. Oh, well, it's a memory scripture. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. The emphasis is on everyone. Scripture also says that while we were sinning, while the world sinned, Jesus Christ died for us. Verse 17. God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. Everyone, the world. So when we love God and we love man. We love everyone. And that is hard to do. We also covered that God is truth. Everything about God is truth. There's no shadow of turning. James 1. I like this phrase. A question did come up one time about what does this mean, the shadow of turning? James 1. It was very interesting. James 1, verse 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Have you ever been someplace you can't see where you're going? You don't see outside. You don't see the horizon, but you see the shadow of where the sun is. And there's a shadow. It's kind of cool. There's a shadow. Maybe there's a frame of the window. And if that vehicle starts to turn, that shadow starts to turn. You know you're moving in a different direction. There's no shadow of turning in God. There's no, I changed my mind with God. He is a God of truth. God wants us to have truth in us. Truth to be part of us, part of our character and our makeup. Being truthful is what we do. It's what we've become. When we speak with one another, when we speak with anyone, we're truthful. John 17:17 says, we are sanctified by God's truth. Because His word is truth. And we're to have His word inside of us. We are to live in the love of God, and we are to live with the truth of God. We also covered that God is faithful. Knowing that God never lies, God never fails. God is faithful to His word, to His plan. And we must emulate God, remaining faithful to Him and to His word, to His gift of the Holy Spirit, faithful to the gift of understanding His word. This is a precious thing. I was thinking this week, just last night, my wife and I were chatting about what we understand here is priceless. Something we can't get, we can't buy. And yet with everything that's taking place outside, this gives us foundation to go forward. That's priceless. God's word is truth, and we understand the plan of God through His word. We also covered that God is perfect. God is complete. And we are to be a complete and mature person. We're to be spiritually minded, a spiritually minded child of God. We put into practice the word of truth. We put into practice God's love. We put into practice faithfulness. To use God's Spirit to show love and faithfulness in all things. Matthew 5:48. Matthew 5:48. Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's a goal that God has given to us. The whole series here is to be like our Heavenly Father, and we're told to be perfect, to be complete as our Father is. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. And yes, I know I'm repeating myself for emphasis. But how often do we go through the high days, year after year, and those messages are repeated for us so that we can understand the depth and breadth and the height of God's word? 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man, the woman, the child of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're to become like God. We are to love everyone. We are to have truth within us. We are to be faithful to His word and His calling. And we are to study to show ourselves approved, to become complete. Showing love and faithfulness in all things. Well, today, we will finish the series of being like our Heavenly Father with God is holy. Now, there's many other attributes in the nature of God that we can cover. I chose these five because we taught them at camp. And it was a wonderful dissertation in going through these elements of God's nature at camp. And as I told Steve, Mr. Knutsman, and Mr. Dowd, I said, thank you for five sermons. Because they did the work. Because I tend to embellish and elaborate. Now, before you say we can't be holy, wow, what a step there. We're to be complete. We're to be perfect. Now we're to be holy? Let's check our doubts at the door and review what God says about being holy and holiness. Let's start with a definition of a working definition. From the Complete Word Study Dictionary, we get the fundamental idea is separation, consecration, and devotion to the service of God, sharing in God's purity, and abstaining from earth defilement. It particularly means perfect and without blemish. Interesting point. The fundamental idea is separation, consecration, and devotion to God, the service of God. The word holy also means worthy of awe. A-W-E, not A-A-H. I mean, A-A-H works for little babies and kittens and things like that. But this is awe, A-W-E. I mean, does something catch your breath? Awe. To be holy is worthy of awe. Sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, ceremonially consecrated, and dedicated to God. From the Merriam and Webster dictionary, it means devoted entirely to the deity, set apart for the service of God. Well, there's much there in the definitions that we can all use. That which is holy, if I could sum it, that which is holy is pure, blameless, dedicated to God, and set apart for service to God. I'm going to take a step back here and ask a question of you. I want you to list some things. List some things that are holy, things that are listed in the Bible. What is holy? What do you know to be holy? And I will iterate for the tape. Yes, quick. God is holy, yes. Time is holy, yes. Sabbath is holy, yes. More? God's word is holy, yes. The ground is holy. There is holy ground. The Holy Land. God says the Holy Land is holy. Yes. Sanctuary. The sanctuary is holy. Tithes are holy. We get the feeling that there's much more holy than we might think. God is holy. Jesus Christ is holy. Places are holy. We have the Holy Spirit. Angels are holy. The name of God is holy. Time is holy. People can be holy. Things of the temple are holy. We have the holy prophets. There's a lot of things that are listed as holy. And we are to be like our Heavenly Father, to think like our Heavenly Father, to have the mind of Jesus Christ in us. And God is holy, so we have to be holy. How interesting is that? God is holy. Let's take a look. Psalm 99. Psalm 99. I started to take one scripture out of this passage here, but then I decided this praise to God needs to be read, needs to be understood. Psalm 99. The Lord God reigns. Let the people tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord your God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. He kept their testimonies and the ordinance he gave them. You answered them, O Lord our God. You were to them God who forgives. Through you, though you took vengeance on their deeds, exalt the Lord our God and worship in his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Awesome. Awesome. John 17:11. I'm going to have you bouncing back and forth between the testaments. Not just because I can, but because that's where the scriptures are. John 17, verse 11. Jesus Christ is praying for his disciples. He's going before God. This is his last intimate discussion with his Father. Verse 10, All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one with as we are one. The Father is holy. Jesus Christ emphasized that in that last discussion. Mark 1, verse 24. Mark 1, Matthew Mark 1, verse 24. Here is in Jesus Christ is in Capernaum, and he's encountering unclean spirits. Verse 21, then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone! What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Do you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Even the spirits know that God and Jesus the Christ are holy. Revealed through his word is the nature of God, to be holy and to be pure. We are called to be like our Heavenly Father. First Peter 1. When we think about our calling, when we think who's calling us, when we think about the plan that God has, it so much transcends this physical world around us. 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. There was a time when we were ignorant to all of God's plans. We were ignorant to God's laws. We were ignorant to what we were doing. And then God, through his grace, opened our minds. And the revelation of Jesus Christ became known to us. Verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through... Well, I've read way more than I wanted to. Be you holy as I am holy. And we were redeemed through the blood of Christ. Jesus the Christ is the Holy One. Our conduct is to be holy. Our words are to be holy. When we think about the definitions, we as a people are holy before God. What we say and do should reflect our God. Everything we say and do should appear to be from God, should be holy. Not always easy to do, but we do have that command. Romans 12. This is one of the first scriptures I remember reading that got me between the eyes. Right to the brain. Right to the mind. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you. I beg you. Let me excite you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I love that phrase, a living sacrifice. God doesn't want us on the cross today. He doesn't want us to physically sacrifice our life. He wants us to be living sacrifices, to change who we are and what we do and how we think, to be a living sacrifice, moving from that which is dark under Satan's rule into light, which is God's rule. To be a living sacrifice. Notice the next word. You as a living sacrifice are holy, acceptable to God, which is only a reasonable or rational service. And in doing so, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've got a sermon on that coming. What is the will of God for you and me? We're to present ourselves as a self-sacrifice, living. We choose to put away the old person and to live a godly life. We choose to put away the old person and live a holy, righteous life. You can put in your notes 1 Thessalonians 4:7, that says that God has not called us to uncleanness. He hasn't called us to remain in the world, but He has called us to holiness. He's called us to holiness. There's an interesting scripture. When we first think about you must be holy. Oh, well, we just can't be holy. That's not possible. Well, yeah, it really is, and we've got to. Turn over to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. He's talking about, look, you've been chastened, you've been corrected, and there's kind of a about it. Well, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Pursue peace with all people. It goes back to God is love. Pursue peace with all people. Pursue peace and holiness. With all people is in the center. That's a center phrase there. Pursue peace and holiness with all people, without which no one will see the Lord. Without holiness, we will miss the mark. Be you holy as I am holy. Pursue holiness. Charge after holiness. Drive toward holiness. Drive and keep focused. That's our assignment, to be like our Heavenly Father in heaven. To put on the new man. Ephesians 4. Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go over time. Just a little. Maybe not. Ephesians 4, verse 24. Oh, 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new person, the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The emphasis over and over is to be holy as God is holy. And as we've been discussing in these five messages, to be as God is, God has given us an assignment to be holy as He is holy. And there is no doubt that that is something we must do. We are to be like God who is love, like God who is truth, like God who is faithful, like God who is perfect and complete. We are also to be holy. Well, how do we apply this mandate, this command, to be holy as God is holy, to pursue holiness, that our conduct should reflect holiness? By definition, to be holy, we are to be pure and blameless, dedicated to God, being set apart for service to God. Do we believe that we are set apart, different than the world? Just read the news. There's no way you could put your name into so many of these news accounts. And the more the world darkens, the brighter your light is going to shine. That is a necessity. I want to take you on a tour, because it's all wrapped up in action and attitude. I want to take you on a tour. I have a map. I'm going to take you on a tour of the temple of our God. You have received a special ticket. You are now going to walk into the temple before it was destroyed in 70 AD. How do you show up? How do you dress? How do you think about that opportunity? You enter through the east gate, which is called the golden gate, the gate of gold, and into the outer court. The outer court is surrounded by large walls all around. You've got chambers on the sides. You've got kitchens for the priests. The floor is polished. There's a little awe in there because you're at the temple. You're at the temple. Sounds are subdued, almost like a library. You don't want to yell. You don't want to scream. Everything is beautiful and perfect around you. There's gold. There's silver. It's marvelous. And before you, straight ahead, is another gate. It's the Nicanor Gate. And you enter this gate with reverence and respect. You're now onto the inner court. This is the court of the priests. And off on the left, you see the brazen altar, or the blood altar. This is where the animal sacrifices took place. And just on the other side is what they call a laveler. This is where the washings took place. The floor is polished, and it's quiet. You're not quite there yet. Straight ahead, two large columns stood, steps up into another gate. And you go from that outer court, which is called the women's court, through the court of the priests. You now enter the sanctuary. You step up into the sanctuary. Everything is polished. Everything is beautiful. Everything is set. This is the holy place, the sanctuary. This is the temple of meeting where Moses would meet God. The sanctuary has a table on the right-hand side, shewbread. And you have the implements, the gold plates and such. They're all there. Those things of the sanctuary are holy. On the left-hand side, you have the candlestick, or the lampstand of the seven candlesticks made of gold. And the floor is polished. Straight ahead, you see the large veil in front of you. And in front of the veil is the altar of incense, the mercy seat. And you're hushed, almost overwhelmed by its beauty and where you're standing. Your ticket allows you to take another step, and you go inside the veil that has yet to be broken. It's one piece, all one piece of cloth, yet to be broken in two. You step inside now the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies is the Ark. Ark of the Covenant, with its cherubim and covering wings, which is called the mercy seat. And if you lift open the ark, inside is Aaron's rod that budded, a jar of manna, where God kept Israel alive for 40 years, feeding them daily, and the Ten Commandments. Second version, because the first version got broken by Moses. Where you are, you can't almost catch your breath. So you get out your Sharpie and you start writing your name. I was here on the wall. You throw your gum wrapper on the floor. No, you don't. You don't. You recognize where you are. You're in the holy place, where only Aaron, only the high priest would go once a year at atonement. You recognize where you are. It is holy. It is holy. None of us would carve our name on the table holding a showbread. How often you go to a park and you see names and trees and the picnic tables. None of us would do that. We wouldn't take out a Sharpie and write, "Kilroy was here on the wall." We wouldn't put graffiti anywhere. We wouldn't leave our trash and dirt because we know where we are. We know that the temple is the place of honor and respect. When dealing with that which is holy, we are given a very good illustration of what to do. And Miss Patty mentioned it. There is ground. Let's turn to Exodus 3. When we think of our brothers and sisters, God calls us holy. How do we deal with one another? When we look at ourselves, how do we deal with ourselves? Do we doubt ourselves? Do we doubt God's Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit in us? Do we denigrate God's Spirit, saying, "I can't do anything, I don't have the power"? Well, that's true. But we have God's power and Spirit in us. I thought of this scripture when I was thinking about what is holy and how to deal with what is holy. Exodus 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock into the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Hey, this is a pretty good trick. I know wood burns, and it consumes, and it disappears. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Moreover, he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. He was at a meeting place, meeting God. He was getting instruction, the burning bush, and he had to respect where he was. He had to take off his shoes. Did that mean his feet were perfect? No. His feet weren't dirty? No. But out of respect and honor to where he was, he had to take off his shoes. Joshua 5. See, that's not the only time that takes place. Joshua 5. Joshua was getting instruction about the destruction of Jericho, and he too had to face holy ground. Joshua 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" Are you for us or against us? Which side are you on? And he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped. You cannot worship any being other than God. So he was speaking to Jesus the Christ, who is the commander of the army of the Lord, who is the Father. And he said, What does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. It's a point of honor and respect. How to deal with one another. We ought to deal with that which is holy with honor, respect, knowledge, and appreciation. Not to treat anything as common, the word in Scripture is called profane, not with disregard and dismissal. So what do I mean? What do I mean as we deal with the application? We are to take care of that which is holy so that we think as God become like God, our Father, and deal with one another as God deals with us. Let's first think about holy people. God says, you are a holy people. Be holy before me. As I am holy, you be holy. What are we to do? John 13. John 13. John 13, verse 35. Here again, he's speaking toward the end of his life. Well, verse 31. So, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will see me, and as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. This is a defining characteristic of a Christian. Love. Oh, back to the first message. But since we are dealing with people, brothers and sisters, who are all trying to be holy before God, how do we treat the holy things? How do we treat that which is holy? With care, respect, love, concern. Romans 12, verse 10. Romans 12, verse 10. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Have a zealousness for God's word. Be kindly affectioned to those brothers and sisters with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love, knowing that your brothers and sisters are holy before God. James 4. James 4. This is an interesting one. When we think about our brothers and sisters, when we think about their foibles, when we think about their strengths, and how often do we think about our brothers and sisters' weaknesses? And yet when we put them in our minds before God as trying to be holy, as we are holy before God. Verse 11, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Do not speak evil of one another. We don't graffiti on the character and reputation of our brothers and sisters. We don't talk down about our brothers and sisters because they're holy before God. And our conduct, that which we say, that which we do, should reflect our own need to be holy before God. How important is that? How important is that? Time was brought up as being holy. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. How we deal with holy time. How we deal with holy time. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, take your foot off the Sabbath. Don't drag your muddy boots through the Sabbath, as a metaphor. And from doing your pleasure on my holy day. See, it's not our holy day. It's not one day in seven. This was made holy creation. The Sabbath day is a holy day. My holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. The holy day of the Lord, honorable. See, it's not our day. We didn't choose it. It's God's holy day. and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, not speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. We're not dragging our boots across the threshold of the tabernacle. We're not trashing the Sabbath day, a time that God has set aside as holy. Time can be holy. When the sun goes down, it's holy time. Not because we say so, but because God said so. My brother has this wonderful ceremony that he goes through. Right at sundown, he goes outside with a glass of wine, glass of champagne, and he's done this every Sabbath. And he says, to the Father, to the Christ, thank you for the Sabbath. He honors the Sabbath. He honors its beginning. And how do you go from that then to doing everything you want to do when you start the Sabbath that day? He doesn't fall into the Sabbath. He prepares for the Sabbath. It's ready because it's holy time. It's holy time. We know Mark 2 says that Jesus Christ... let's go there. I got some time. Maybe. I'm trying to keep it within an hour. Mark 2, verse 27. So many people have tried to get out of the Sabbath. They want 9 of the 10 commandments. Oh, they believe in 9 of the 10. Absolutely, fervently believe that we need 9 of the 10. But that Sabbath question, that... Now, 1 in 7 is fine. Mark 2. Mark 2, verse 27. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man. And not, I didn't make man for the Sabbath. I made the Sabbath for man. Therefore, the Son of Man, Jesus the Christ, is Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a holy time. The Sabbath was made for us to have a relationship with God and Jesus Christ. It was made for us to have a relationship with one another. It was made for us to celebrate the coming life in the plan of God that He has for all of us. There are so many opportunities when we think about that which is holy. I only want to cover a few. The third one, this world really gets wrong. And that is name. The name of God is holy. The name of God is holy. I'm not going to get into sacred names. That's a whole different discussion. Maybe not. God's name is holy. God's name is holy. Isaiah. Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 7. The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. Wow, this sounds just like the sermons we've been going over. Be like our Father. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Is his name. Psalm 105, back a few pages. His name is holy. Psalm and awesome. His name is holy and awesome. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks. This is one of our songs in the hymnal. Oh, give thanks to the Eternal. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him. Talk of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Glory in his holy name. Remember all that he's done. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tenderness, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. God's name is holy. And I, for the last 42 years before I retired, heard God's name every day at work taken in vain. Without respect, without regret, without acknowledgement of the great God, almost every conversation I had with everybody I worked with took God's name in vain, casually. So casual. God's name is holy, and this world uses it as an expletive. They use it without understanding. They use it without appreciation. The name of God is holy. Now, that said, it's not a superstition. It's not that we don't use God's name. Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5 says, don't use my name. Don't take my name in vain. It doesn't say don't say my name. It says use my name, but don't take it in vain. Don't take it as empty. Don't live life under his name without living his way of life. When my girls were growing up and they would do something, they did it under my name. And it reflected on Sue and I as parents. God said the same thing about his name. God is very protective of his name. Proverbs 22:1, you put that in your notes. It says a good name is better to be had than all of the riches. God protects his name. Ezekiel 36. No, that's true. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwell in their own land, they defied it by their own ways and deeds. To me, their way was like the uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity. Therefore, I poured out my fury on them for the blood they shed on the land, for the idols with which they defiled it. Their ways took God's name in vain. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. They made common. Profane means make common. Take for granted. I work on this because I know I do this. I don't ever want to take God for granted. I appreciated the song Sue sang because I don't want to step in the way of God saying, I know better. The ways that they were living profaned my name when they said of them, these are the people talking, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land. By their example and what they said and what they did, they profaned, they made common God. Just like God, small g, just like their gods, who are no gods. But I had concern for my holy name, for the house of Israel, which had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Wherever they went, they took my name in vain. They profaned, made me common before the nations. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have made common among the nations wherever you went. When Israel first went into the land of Canaan, and the residents heard the name of God coming, and the people were following God, and they followed him with fervor and fealty and appreciation and holiness, the name of God put fear in the inhabitants. But when Israel stepped away and made their God, small g, common, people said, Look at these people. They're nothing. And God says, I will do this for my holy name's sake. I'm concerned for my name, which the house of Israel has profaned among the nations. The name is important. The reputation of God's name is important. None of us should ever take God's name in vain, how we speak, or what we do and say among ourselves, or among the world. It's very interesting that there is a difference between that which is holy and that which is common. And it has to be taught. It has to be taught. Ezekiel 22 and verse 26. Here Ezekiel is discussing, or God is addressing, poor leadership. Verse 26, her priests have violated my law and profaned, made common my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath, so that I am common, I am made common among them. Wow. There is a difference between the holy and the unholy, between the holy and the profane. Ezekiel 44 and verse 23. Ezekiel 44 and verse 23. And they shall teach my people, talking about the priests, the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. To be taught. This world does not know what is holy. This world does not know what is unclean or not holy. Everything is the same. Everything is the same. Everything is common. There needs to be an understanding. God has given us his understanding in his book. There is so much more to being holy as God is holy. There really is. I've just covered a few things. I've just begun to give you a place to study, to go from and grow from. So much more to being like our Heavenly Father. These 5 points were just a smattering. God is love, and we're to love one another as God has loved us. When we sit and just meditate on the love that God has given to us, we should catch our breath. God is truth. We are sanctified by truth. We are set apart by truth. And we're to live a different life because of God's truth in us. God is faithful. And as God is our rock, our faith, and is faithful to us, we have to take opportunity and hold fast that which God has given to us and revealed to us. Not taking the word of truth for granted. God is perfect and complete. And we continue our studies and strive for spiritual maturity, being prepared and complete in Christ. That's spiritual maturity. And God is holy. We are to be different, think different, act different, speak different, knowing that the world around us doesn't understand that which is holy. We are called to be holy, and that's an incredible calling. God stated, be holy as I am holy, and he meant it. It's not I hope you think about, want to be, possibly, maybe get to the point where you might want to be holy. God said, no, as I am holy, you be holy. It's a commandment that God has given to us. Well, I hope this series has been helpful. There's many, many more topics that can be covered on being like our Heavenly Father. I'd like to walk around and show what I call parent prints. That when you see me, you could see, when you see me walking, physically walking, you would see the kind of loping gait my father had. Because he did. And I don't know how to get rid of it. It's just there. It's a parent print. I know there's expressions that I have that I got from my parents. There's gestures I got from my parents. It's parent prints. All of us, in being like our Heavenly Father, should engage the Word of God and change to the point when we see each other, we see God in us. And that's what it means to be like our Heavenly Father in heaven. Until next time, which I think is, yes, 2 weeks. It's today's 5:20. It's 20 something. You guys know I have a calendar somewhere. I'll be back.